don't want you to weigh the question because I'm not looking for a response from your head. I'm looking for the immediate and eager response of your spirit. And when I ask you the question, I want you to respond by raising your hand. Can you raise your hand? Show me you can raise your hand. Okay, good. Now then, show me you can raise it fast. Oh, you guys are quick on the draw because that's exactly what I'm looking for. And I want you to understand, not everyone will raise their hand by the time I'm through. Okay? But those of you who do raise your hands, I want you to raise them quickly and keep them high. Ready? Oh, look at you. Some of you are slow on the draw. That's exactly what I expected. Now, before I ask you the real question, I'm going to ask you a prep question just to see if we can get through this, okay? Now, I'm going to want you to raise your hands, keep them high. And just as a test now, there won't be any ties allowed on this particular question. There's only going to be one person who gets chosen for the for having the right answer. And with this response, there's going to be a prize. In fact, I think what I'll do is I'll just pick this side, okay? Put your hand down. Sitting back there drawn and cocked. Okay, go ahead. I'm ready. Just this section right here. All right. And you understand what's going to happen. I'm going to ask you a question. You're going to respond immediately, right? All right. Who among you, right here in this center section of chairs, who among you right now would like to have a new $20 bill? All right. I saw that hand. Yes, indeedy. Okie dokie. That's one of those colored ones. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Now, see how easy that was? All right. Now then. Now let's go for the real question. All right? God, is it 100? Gee, maybe it's a trip to... No. It's nothing like that. Hold on. All right. Now, you noticed that there was a... You noticed the presence of a compelling desire right there? Did you see that? All those hands went... I tell you, she was quick on the draw, wasn't she? All right. Now then, here's the real question. And I want you to understand, it'll take a little bit of effort for you to get the prize. But I'm going to ask it nonetheless. So, I'm looking for a response from your spirit, not from your head. So let's just disconnect your head for a moment, shall we? Settle down, no noise. Here we go. How many of you, seated here this morning, have an eager and compelling desire to see God perform healing through you? All right, hold it. All right, now let's just look here for a second. All righty. I am astonished at the number. So just keep those hands up for a moment. Daryl's friend, Shanny? Shally. Come here. Or just stand up. Just stand up. No, you're panicking. Just stand up. Jason? Lenny? Who is this young woman here next to the Ropers? Stand up, gentlemen. Let's see. What have we got? 1, 2, 3, 4. This young person here? Stand up. And Mr. Gallagher? Let's see. Do you have your hand up, Robin? You do? Stand up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. JP. And eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Catalina. All right. Now, those of you who are standing, I'd like you to come take the seats of honor right here in the front row. You can bring your Bibles with you if you want to, because you're going to be my class today. Now, let me just say, first of all, I'm absolutely astonished at the numbers of you who are willing to express that you have that kind of desire from the Lord. Because it's my express intent and purpose this morning to demonstrate and show you how to release the healing anointing. All right? So I'm going to be talking to my class, and the rest of you can just kind of follow along and pick up things as we go. Now, I want us to start by looking at a story from 2 Kings chapter 4. So, if you have a Bible in your hands, feel free to open there. If you don't, I'm sure that that passage of Scripture will be portrayed for us right up here on the screen in just a moment. Now, this is not an unfamiliar story to many of you, but as we begin to look at it, I want you to get this in your mind. People live ordinary lives in every generation. That should not surprise you. You may not have thought about that this morning, but in every generation of man, there are people going about living ordinary lives. And as they live their ordinary lives, stuff happens. You know, stuff happens, Jason. It just, you know, you weren't looking for it, but there it was. Now, with that in mind, let's read this story. Beginning in verse 8, it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put in there for him a bed, a table, a chair, a lampstand, and so it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room, and he lay down there, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." And when he had called her, she stood before him, and he said, "Say now, look, you've been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you?" Class, my front row of students here, ask that question. What can I do for you? Do you feel how that rolls in your mouth? Say it one more time. What can I do for you? We're going to come back to that question. "Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?" And she answered, "I dwell among my own people." And so he said, "Well, what is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Actually, she has no son and her husband is old." And so he said to her, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, "About this time next year, you will embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord, man of God, don't you lie to me. Don't give me none of that. Don't give me none of that prophetic razzmatazz." But the woman conceived and she bore a son. And when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her, the child grew. Now it happened one day he went out to his father to the reapers, and he said to his father, "My head, my head!" And so he said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon, and then he dined. Stuff happens. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door behind her, and went out. She called her husband and says, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back." So he said, "Why are you going to him today? It's neither the new moon nor the Sabbath." Note the religious response. And she said, "It is well." Now, let me see if I get this straight. Her son is dead, and she's telling her husband not that her son is dead, but everything's okay. Is that what just happened? We'll come back to that. Then she saddled a donkey, said to her servant, "Drive and go forward, and do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." And so she departed, and she went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And so it was, when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." Is the child dead? Now, when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone." Now, class, pay attention. The man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." Make note that sometimes that the representative of God gets handed a crisis without any cue from the Lord as to what to do. All right? She said, "Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" And then he said to Gehazi, "Get yourself ready, take my staff in your hand, and be on your way. And if you meet anyone, do not stop to greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer, but lay my staff on the face of the child." What does a staff represent? Authority. Go in my authority. The holy man says, "Go in my authority and interpose my authority into this situation. The badge of my authority." And the mother of the child said, notice what the mother of the child says, audience. "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So where is she? Laying there hanging on his feet and saying, "I am not going anywhere." Now, it doesn't take long to figure out what she's wanting. Gehazi went on ahead of them, laid the staff on the face of the child. There was neither voice nor hearing, that he went back to meet him, and he told him, kid didn't wake up. When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on the bed. Now, the mother who is looking for healing has said two things thus far. "It is well, and I'm not leaving without your presence." Hang on to that, audience, class. When Elisha came into the house, there was the child laying dead on the bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and he prayed to the Lord. Now, the woman shows up. God doesn't speak anything. He gets to the situation. He's on the do not cross line. The tape is already up. There lies the body. He closes the door and he begins to pray. Notice that he'd already done one thing that he knew to do. He'd sent the emblem of his authority. The second thing he knew to do was to go into the crisis. Now that he's there, what does he do? Checks in with the boss. He begins to pray. And then he does an odd thing. He went up and he lay on the child and he put his mouth on the mouth of the dead child, his eyes on the eyes of the dead child, his hands on the hands of the dead child. He stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. Don't you know that's a good sign? Because the kid had already started cooling down. I don't know how long the trip was, but he's getting stiffer and colder. Well, he gets off. He walks back and forth in the house. And again, he went up and stretched himself out on the child, and the child sneezed 7 times. The child opened his eyes. He called his servant. He said, "Call the Shunammite woman. Pick up your son. I'm done." She bowed low and she took her child. Now, there are a number of things in here that I've pointed out to you along the way that I want to go back to for just a moment before we begin to look at how we're going to handle ourselves in the house of the Lord today. I want you to remember the question, "What can I do for you?" Because that question is multidirectional. Now, let's suppose that we had someone come to us in crisis. Our first response should be, "What can I do for you?" Because they've come to us. Now, the very fact that they have moved in the direction of a person who represents God is a statement of their faith. There's an expectancy expressed in their coming. They may not fully understand it, but there's an expectancy in the coming. And our response should automatically be, "What can I do for you?" Now, the thing I like about the story is what needs to be done is a resurrection from the dead, so we know right up front there's nothing we can do. Right? You ready to take on the dead? Not today, maybe tomorrow. Okay, got it. But here's the deal. Every situation is an impossible situation, because all we have to offer them is empty hands. And yet, the Lord models for us a response to those who come in these incredible situations by asking, "What can I do for you?" Now, why is this a multidirectional question? Because here stands a crisis, here stands my empty hands. When the Spirit of God says within us, what can I do for you? And it's simple. We just say, well, we've got this crisis here and
you demand.
Do your thing. And I'll be a co-laborer together with you. So there's an attitude in the healing ministry that basically says, what can I do for you? And he says, what can I do for you? Now, healing is something that just kind of passes through. Psst. Got nothing to do with us. But the Lord needs someone to stand there on his behalf and ask the question, what can I do for you? Now, as we read on down through here, we see this proactive faith. The woman took the child and laid him on the bed of the man of God, presented the dead thing as an offering on the altar of the man of God, then turned and went to the man of God. And as she had to entertain questions along the way, she spoke in expectancy of what she was anticipating. So her husband says, hey, it's not the new moon or a Sabbath or a holy day. Religious, why are you going to go see the man of God? She goes, everything is okay. Man of God sends his servant to address the woman of the dead child. And she says, everything's going to be okay. She comes and lays hold of the anointing and says, I'm not going anywhere until I get what I came for. Who does that remind you of? The woman with the issue of blood? You know, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And then Jesus says to her, your faith has made you whole. So when you come, there needs to be something more than a cavalier expectation. Well, I'll give it a shot before I go to the doctor. There needs to be something inside of us that's responding to the awareness that there is the presence of God in the earth and that he has commissioned agents to represent him in healing. That testimony needs to be known in the earth because the church is supposed to be demonstrating the power of God, not just the theology about God. And how does it happen? Through those who sit in the seat of honor, who have said, there is a compelling, urgent desire in me to see God move through my life. Well, that's not hard when you consider where God is located. Where is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Hello! You need anything in there? Can I get you some water? Is your bed comfy? See, it was the Lord who decided that he would like to localize himself in time and space through you. Was he not the prototype of that? There was God in human flesh doing God stuff. And he said, it is expedient for you that I go away. Why? Because if I go, then the very essence of what I am can come to all of you and we will be me all over the place. All right, I know I'm battling with your mind. I'm going to come to that in just a moment. All right, the prophet, as the Lord, gives forth the symbol of his authority. And he went up and he healed. He called upon the name of the Lord. And here's the interesting thing that I wanted to make known to you out of that. You come into the crisis with what you know. But it's in the crisis you get what you didn't know. When you put yourself on the front line, it's the responsibility of the one you represent to send his supply. Now, I don't know how often Elisha went around laying on dead people to see if they'd get up and sneeze. But you can be assured he was instructed that day when he closed the door and began to pray to the Lord. All right, here we are. What do we do? We have other names for that, but I won't burden you with too much scripture. Now, I want to touch on some truths for you, class. Your knowledge of the truth is not in question with me, okay? I'm simply reminding you of some things that you already know because they're pertinent to this moment. For instance, you've read Mark chapter 16, and in Mark chapter 16, you've heard these verses that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They shall, what? Lay hands on the sick and what will happen? Why will it happen? Verse 20 says that Jesus was working with them daily, confirming His word with signs following. So why will it happen?
Well, this Jesus stuff. Yes, that's right. Because of Jesus. Not because you went out and laid hands on. That's your act of faith. It's going to happen because that's His way of doing business.
Now, there's one thing I should like to point out. When we read the story, we like the fact that the kid is raised from the dead. But notice it was not a sovereign intervention of God. There was a human agent representing the Holy One who came in His name, in His authority, on His behalf, to respond to the question, what can I do for you? All right? Now, these signs shall follow them that believe. You already knew that, didn't you? Now, did you hear it? You knew that. Did you know that? Did you know that? You did. Okay, good. Good. What about Matthew chapter 10, verse 1? Jesus summoned the 12 together, and He gave them authority over what? You're right. That's exactly right. You read the cue card. Hello, my name is... State your name. Wait a minute. That ain't my name. No. He called the 12 disciples to Him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. What did He give them? Ah. So, you mean the Lord gives us a staff? Yes, He gives us a token. He says, in My name. What is His name? His name is the emblem of authority that's recognized by sickness and disease and demons. Why? Because He has triumphed over them in the cross. He has defeated the realms of darkness. He holds the keys of death and hell because He took them by conquest. It is said of Him that His name is above every name in heaven and in earth. So no matter where the demons are hiding, they're subject to that name. And that name on our lips has power because the thing that animates that power resides within us. So He has given us authority and power over all demons and sickness and disease. Now, in John 14, 12, He says, truly, truly, I say to you, the works that I do, you have good eyesight, look at that. Do what I have been doing. Anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing. Now, the question is not whether or not you're doing what He's been doing. The question is, do you believe what He says? This right here. This is where I believe it. Anyone who has what? Now, here's an interesting thing. Do you have faith? The answer is yes, because the Bible says He has given to every man a measure of faith. Every single one of us has on deposit faith as a gift from Jesus, a measure of it. There's also the gift of faith, that thing that comes in a moment in time when you're standing in the crisis. There's something that rises up inside of you that makes everything you see irrelevant because you know that you know that you know what God has just spoken in your spirit is true and you declare it. And it doesn't matter what the situation looks like. When that gift of faith is released, it's like a hot air balloon that just swells up inside of you and it presses out all doubt, all misunderstanding, every hint of insecurity, because it is the corporal knowledge of your being in that moment that it must come to pass, because you know it's God speaking. But regardless of whether that shows up today, we have the other. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:7 is a very important piece of scripture to me, because it changes the dynamic of the way we respond to the crises that's presented to us, in which we say, "What may I do for you?" And it is this: the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, whatever comes out of you that's not just your own carnality, just your own stuff, has another source. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? For everybody's benefit. Now, it goes on to say that He will manifest through one the word of knowledge, that He will manifest through another the word of wisdom, that He will manifest through somebody else working of miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, faith. He does that. All you do is kind of sit there going, comes a gift, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Right? Right? Now, after you crank that thing a few times, you know what to expect, don't you? But you bring a different one in, it's a different tune and a different character. Why? Because it's for everybody. He'll do this for you, you know, for one will have a tongue, another will have an interpretation. Pop quiz. How do you know if there's an interpreter in the room? Somebody has to speak in tongues first. If there's not an interpreter, nobody else gets to speak in tongues. This is not hard. This is not rocket science, is it? Simple stuff. All right. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, you know these things, don't you? You knew this already, didn't you, Jason? Of course you did. You knew it because the Spirit of truth dwells in you. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. Someone just like me. And by the way, He won't only be with you, lo, to the end of the age, but He will dwell in you. All right? So there is a testimony of the truth of God resident in us. Now, I've had experience with remote control television devices that don't work. All right? You know the thing, you know how it's supposed to operate, but you just don't seem to be able to make it operate. So, let's review this. We have, as agents of healing, we have the person of God the Holy Spirit on deposit in us. We have the manifestations of God the Holy Spirit through us. We have the authority of the name of Jesus who set the whole dynamic up. And we have, we have you. Agents of His healing power. Why? Because His healing power is on deposit in you. And you, seated here in the seats of honor, have a desire for His healing to move through you. You've already said that. It's something in there that you just, it's like going to the pantry and that's not it, that's not it, that's not it. You know, you go through 900 calories and you still haven't found what satisfies. It's just there. Now, I want to deal with why we haven't seen much of it. I want you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to take a look at the enemy of healing. In Genesis chapter 3, we have a story. It's a really sad story. But it's an important story, because it helps us understand some of the stuff that wars against us in this moment, right this second, this stuff going on in your soul that I'm going to expose. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. What version are we using up here? It was more crafty. All right, I'll just read it from up there. No point. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any what? Any of the animals. Well, we won't. Are animals below the kingdom of man or above it? Below. Okay, good. Now, the Lord God had made, and He said to the woman, what did He say? Did God really say, these signs shall follow them that believe? Did God really mean me when He said He's given me authority over demons and sickness and disease? Did God say, really mean it, that the Holy Spirit would manifest a gift through me? He's crafty. The first thing He does is begin to challenge what God says concerning you. Okay? Now, we fight this fight all the time. Has God said? Well, let me think. You must not eat from any tree in the garden? Now, let me ask you, is that the question? Is that what God said? You may not eat from any tree in the garden. No, He said you can eat from every tree in the garden, but one. All right? Now, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. Did God say that? No, God did not say that. God put them in the garden to tend every tree in the garden. God never said, you may not touch it. He said, you may not eat from it. So we have the devil misrepresenting what the Lord said. And we have the woman misrepresenting what the Lord said. There's a lesson there about misrepresenting what the Lord says. The Lord did say, these signs shall follow them that believe. Because when you try to get those signs cooking, when you're not a believer, and say, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out of him. You and the six guys that came with you are going to be scratched up and run away naked. Naked. Yeah, you can take them out of the South, but... Now, let's look at something. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. You shall not surely die. But what? For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, the truth is, that was the truth. Your eyes will be opened and you will know good from evil. But God never intended for you to live that way. So, what happens? Now, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good, what does it say? When she that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eyes. Wait a minute. When you eat of it, your eyes will be open. When she saw that it was pleasing to the eye, was she already capable of seeing? Well, what does it mean that your eyes will be opened? And also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were what? And they realized they were naked, and so they sewed fig trees together and made coverings for themselves. Verse 6, 7, 8. Where's verse 8? Boom. For God knows. No, 8. Then the man and the woman heard the sound of the Lord of God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from God in the bushes. In the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened. And when she saw that it was pleasing, saw it was good for food and pleasing to the eye, she went out and neither touch it. No change. Oh, maybe I was wrong. Since I didn't accurately record what God had said to me, I've now emboldened myself to question whether or not He really said what He said. And she took and ate it, and something happened. Her eyes were open. And an interesting phenomenon came into being. Immediately, they were aware that they were naked. And they were ashamed. And then God came into the cool of the evening, into the garden, to fellowship with them. And they hid from Him as from an enemy. Now, let's ask ourselves something. Yesterday, they were naked and unashamed. Yesterday, God came into the garden in the cool of the evening, and they fellowshipped as friends. Today, they are aware of their nakedness and start to make for their own provision. They hear the sound of their friend and hide from him as an enemy to ensure their own protection. What had changed? The circumstances were absolutely the same, weren't they? Yesterday God came, yesterday they were naked. Today they're naked in shame and God's an enemy. What happened?
They realized that what they did was wrong. They disobeyed God's direct word.
That's very good. Now, how did they come to that knowledge of good and evil? That's exactly right. But look what it did. The circumstances have not changed. What changed was the perspective they had on themselves. They went from responding by the Spirit to whatever God wanted to feeling their way around in darkness because suddenly things had changed. Honey, what happened? I don't know. Where we're going to do? What is this? What is this? And they walked in darkness because spiritual blindness had come upon them. Their spirits had been cut off from God. He was more crafty than all the serpents, all the beasts, all the wild animals that God had made. He is still crafty. From that moment forward, we have each been engaged in our own provision and our own protection. And so when God says, let me, we think, what about me? When God says, open your mouth, we go, what would they think? We're totally self-absorbed with our own provision and our own protection. God says, I want to send you to Turkey. You go, I can't afford to go. If He says, I want to send you, whose responsibility is it to fund it? But what's your first response? I can't afford a vacation, let alone a trip to Turkey. What's the matter with you? What are you thinking? Do you see? And we do this all the time. We do it instinctively because it's part of our old man. It's the nature that we're warring against right now. Do you realize in a few moments you're going to be praying for sick people and already there's a going off in you? Well, what if I pray and nothing happens? Okay. What if you pray and nothing happens? It means He has something else in store. It doesn't have anything to do with you. You couldn't heal Him. Let's get it straight. You couldn't heal Him if your life depended on it. If God doesn't show up, we're dead ducks. But instead of going through the 100 looking for the 3 that'll get healed, we don't move at all because I might look bad. I might make a mistake. Trust me.
you're going to look bad and make a mistake. Okay? You're going to walk into the situation and you're going to say, what may I do for you? And they say, well, before I got saved as a man, I've had a sex change and I'd like to get my life back. About time for you to be asking, what can you do for me? And then, look, the whole point is submission to the moment, not the outcome of the event. Let's face it, you guys want to move in healing, but you're not any good at it. Do you own up to the fact you're not any good at it? But you'd like to be good at it, wouldn't you? Do you think you're going to start out the first 97 times good at it? Good. You won't. But if you stumble in that direction, there's a sense of confidence that overtakes you. And the Lord will set you up. He will set you up and not perform. Just to see how you're going to respond. Are you going to pout? Are you going to withdraw? You go into the city looking for the man of peace. They run you out with stones.
Well, that's it. I must have misunderstood that call to evangelism. I'm out of here.
We need to appreciate the fact that the Lord wants to release a wonderful anointing. Heaven has got warehouses full of limbs that need to be grown back into places where they no longer exist. But we're not going to start there. We're going to start learning that it is His desire, His will, His name. It's got nothing to do with us. Okay?
It's showtime.
Now, you hear them giggling back there? They're giggling because it was you that got picked. But I have news for them. Their day's coming. What we see in this Genesis passage is the triumph of the soulish realm of man over the spirit of man. And it's a battle in which we are presently engaged, but we have to war. We have to fight the good fight on this. You have to ask yourself this and come up with not a preacher response, but you've got to come up with a gut level answer to this question. Is your God a liar? Intellectual assent won't move you forward. You've got to know that the God who saved you is the same God who moves mightily in the earth by His Spirit then and now. And we're going to stand for Him because there's a gnawing in our spirit to see the reality of the kingdom. Now, this is safe, this laboratory. You know most of these people, they're not going to stone you. But see, what's going to happen is going to spill over into your workplace. Yeah, you feel that? You feel that? Oh, goody. You know, that's the old soul, you know, the spirit's going, yes, and the soul's going, what will they think? You know, no, maybe not this week. All right. I have a testimony. I don't have a testimony. I've arranged for a testimony. Jenny, you can be a guest speaker in my class today. We've got all these eavesdroppers, but they can listen to.
Okay, so my testimony. Growing up, I always had a lot of joint and ankle and foot pain. The doctors didn't really believe me. You're a kid. You're wanting attention. You want to go to the doctor. X-rays were done. As I got older, pain medication was given, and no real explanation was given as to why I had pain. And then in college, we switched to doctors, a new doctor, and he sent me to a specialist who was the first one to ever check to see if my legs were even in length. And come to find out, they weren't. My left leg was a half an inch shorter than my right leg. And I also had alignment problems. My legs didn't stand the way they were supposed to. And so That was a little disturbing to think that, it wasn't born correctly. You know, my legs weren't even. And so I went to God about it over and over again and had people pray with me and pray for me. And then one day I went up for prayer, went up to Miss Louise, and we were working on some heart issues, and my feet started to hurt. I had orthotics in my shoes that were taking care of the difference and the alignment problems. And so I took off my shoes and pushed them aside. And as soon as I stepped on the floor, I felt something a little different. We finished praying, and I was a little shaken. I wasn't sure. So I grabbed my mother, went into the bathroom where I sat down on the floor and backed my hips up against a wall. Before, you could see the difference, that there was a half an inch change, and at that moment, there wasn't. Ever since then, I've been able to run and do things that I wasn't able to do before because I would turn my ankles or I would fall over or twist a knee and would be in pain. I used to have to dance with braces on both of my ankles, and I don't have to anymore. So God healed me.
Yes, we do. Let me see if I got this right. She had something in her shoe so that she would stand even. She got prayed for, and then she was tilted the other way. Is that what I just heard? Had to pull the deal out and don't buy those orthotics anymore. Now, how many of you know when it's you twisting your ankle and you having pain in your lower back and your legs messing up, that even something as simple as a half an inch is a big deal in your life? See, there's no such thing as a small healing to the person being healed, because that's their date with God. They're the ones who have come to the representative of the Holy One and said, "What can you do?" And we turn and say, "Yes, you may help me." Now, all right, all you short-legged people, lower back pain, that kind of stuff. Where are you? All right, just stand up where you are. I hope there's nine of you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, somebody get seconds. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. You're one? Really? Well, you stinker, you. Come here. No, I tell you what. I'm not going to start with you for this reason. There's a principle in the Scripture that when Abraham prayed for Abimelech, that the wombs in his household would be opened, that God healed Sarah's womb and they had a child. So we'll start with you who has an infirmity, praying for someone who has an infirmity to watch God heal both of you. What do you think of that?
That sounds like a good idea.
All right, scoot back in your chair, all the way back. Put your buttocks all the way back. All right, are you firmly back there? Okay, let me see your legs. Put them up here. Jerry, come around here and be my witness. Look at these heels. That's a good half an inch. The left leg is shorter.
I put more weight on my left leg than I do my right leg.
Of course you do. It's closer to the ground. All right. Now, did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see it? I want witnesses. Come on. Put them back up here. All right. Stand up. It's okay to stand up. Come around here and look. See that left leg is shorter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right. Hang on to that. All righty. Well, I don't know you from Adam. Come here, Adam. That's your dad? Oh, this would be funny. Have a seat, Dad. I'll tell you why it's funny. I was doing, those of you who are standing up, come on up this way. Just get there in the center. I'm going to let all these guys, I want to show them something, and then we'll pray for you. I was doing a workshop along this line, but on a different topic, up in the church. And this little teenage girl comes up because she wants to see the power of God move through her. And so she comes up, and she's standing there in the line. And, I've got them here, and I've instructed them on how they're supposed to say the name of Jesus, where to put their hands, that kind of stuff. And there wasn't anybody standing in front of her. And so her father felt bad nobody was in front of his little girl. So he walks up in front of her and says, "Darling, you can pray for Daddy." Well, she reached out to her unexpected father, and the Lord nailed him so hard he flew backwards and hit the floor. They were both astonished. All right, your buttocks all the way against the back as far as you can, because I want Catalina and Jason, come here and stand on either side of me. All right. Now I want to take a look at this. All righty. They are lined up. These legs are not shorter. Okay, so it's back pain. Oh, okay. I don't want to start with you. I want somebody with short leg because I want. No, no, don't go away. We're going to pray for you. But I want it to be visible. You understand? I want us to see God. All right, so who knows? You, dear, come up here. You are?
I'm Pat.
Pat?
Hi.
Have a seat, Pat. All right. Now, let's look at this. Let me get rid of these things because they don't adhere to your heels. It's your left leg, huh?
Right leg shorter?
Oh, you're right. Look at that. I'm looking from the wrong angle. You see that? You see that? Okay. Now, put your legs down. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask your healing virtue to loose her leg. Come on, bring it back up here. Bring it back up here. Look at that. Do you see that? Pat, look at it. Your leg. Do you see that? Do you see that? Does that look different to you?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you see that? All right. Okay. I love my healers. Yeah. Now, don't put your shoes on. Just stand up. Stand up and tell me if there's any difference. How would you know? What would indicate to you that something's changed?
Only with walking on them for a while.
All right, go walk on them for a while. Just take a stroll around the sanctuary, okay? All right, do we have another one? Somebody who knows you've got one leg shorter than the other. Jill, come up here. All righty. All right, dear, what's your name?
Michelle.
Okay. And you are?
June.
Okay, Michelle and June. Come stand right there. You stand right here. Catalina, do the drill.
Do the drill?
You saw what I just did. See one, do one, teach one. All right, now this is your turn to do one.
Okay.
You're welcome, Mary Wallace. So it's the left leg that's shorter? Okie dokie. Do you see that? Okay, well, whatever this is, Jesus knows how to fix it. Okay? That's about as unreligious as I've heard all day. Praise God.
I'm sorry you're here with me.
No. No? Okay. Pull them up. Let's see. This should be visible. Ho, hold it.
I said the wrong thing.
You sure did.
I'm sorry.
Now, that's okay. She said, oh, I didn't do it. Oh, he didn't do it. No, 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 no. We're in the laboratory here. Either God is God or every man is in deep, deep trouble.
That's right.
Now then. Okay. So he comes into the room. He closes the door behind him and he prays. He goes up, lays down on the dead boy. All that happens is some warmth. You feeling warm now?
Yes.
Okay, good. So what did he do?
And he went back in.
He went back and did it again.
That's right.
All right. Now then, when this is manifest, I'm going to ask you some questions about what you're going through in this very moment. Okay. So
okay.
So make note of your emotions, the static that's running through your mind.
Okay.
Okay. Now. Be patient. That's enough patience. Put it back down. Jill, I want you to stand up and begin to walk around. Just go for a stroll. Go for a stroll. All right, now, all of you guys, stand up. Get your junk out of your chair. Just stick it underneath. I have 9 chairs. I need 9 people. Sure you can. Go over here. All right, class. Go to work. Well, as soon as Peggy is through, we'll have her up here because she has an exhortation from the Lord for the rest of us. This line got longer, didn't it? How are we doing, Pat? Let's see, who was it that prayed for you? Huh? No, I said, who prayed? Was it I who prayed for you? I prayed for you? Okay, I'm sorry. Well, tell us what's going on here. Well, here. You're going to hold it and you're going to put it right here on your chin, so no matter where you turn your head, we'll still be able to hear you, okay? Well, if it's not, I'll turn it on. Presto, it's on.
Usually people don't have a hard time hearing me. I usually have a pretty big mouth. But before, just walking around in bare feet, the balls of my feet would be very painful after at least 20 feet or so. Standing on them for 12 hours, I'm anxious to see after work tonight.
Sure.
But right now, my feet feel great. Praise God.
Hallelujah. All righty. What you got cooking there, Gary? Tell us about it.
Well, it appears that Jesus grew a leg here. When I put up her legs, the right leg was probably a half an inch shorter. And we prayed and lifted the legs, and they looked the same to me.
Well, what do you think there, Karen?
Well, as she was praying, I felt the sensation go through. And it wasn't like a pop. But I felt it. And then as she was praying, I just saw it.
You saw your leg grow out. Well, that's cool. Give the Lord a hand. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Yes? Let's hear it.
Her left leg was a little bit shorter, and I was praying, and when it looked up, it looked like the right leg was shorter. And then I prayed again, and then she stood up, and she said for the first time she actually was able to stand flat.
I want your exhortation in a moment. Where's Jill? You went and sat back down? Get back up here. I'm not through with you.
I've had a shorter leg for as long as I've known. My right leg's been shorter. And it contributes a lot of hip pain whenever... yesterday I was in a kayak and it was really killing me. And she prayed and they're the same length now. They absolutely are. And Catalina prayed.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, June, what you got cooking over there? You and Sarah? Is that who it was?
Yes. Sarah was in line, and she said that she accepted God's healing in line. And so when she came up here, her pain was gone. She'd been suffering from lower back pain. And so we just prayed and praised God for that. And this gentleman,
Jason,
we prayed in praise over her healing. And we also lifted up her mom. Who's been experiencing pain.
Okay, I want Sarah, give your testimony, turn the crowd and tell them what you were doing in the line, because this is very, very important. Let me introduce what I think I just heard. When God's grace, for whatever is going on in the room, all you got to do is lay hold of it. Just lay hold of it and say, I'm not going anywhere until I get what I came for. Go ahead, dear.
I accepted when Pastor Lenny said that lower back pain, and which I have suffered my whole life, and I accepted God's healing the minute I stood up, still a little wiggly, but I felt the fire and my whole system, and I knew it, that it was working through me as I was standing in line and coming up, and I was not going to leave here without accepting it, because that's my right. I guess that's Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know. I'm just kind of coming down the line asking.
Okay.
What's up?
My name is Jean. This is the second time I've been here. And I love you all. And I have a ruptured disc. And it's being tended to. And it does feel better at this moment. I can stand up straight right now.
Praise God.
In
Lord,
Jesus' name.
Ask you to finish this healing in Jesus' name. Oh, yeah. That was a nice shot. I felt that one. Here you go. Dan. Dan.
Hi, Dan came to me and he was saying...
I want you to hold it right here so we can hear.
Dan came to me and he was saying he was having problems with his back. And I pray that God would work through me and that God would heal him. And I pray that he'd feel better and that he wouldn't have this pain any longer.
And?
It's feeling somewhat better.
It's feeling somewhat better. Lenny, as soon as I'm through with you, come pray for him. Okay? That's not in any way a reflection on you, which is going to hit him again. What we got cooking here?
Dave came to me, and his right leg was shorter.
How short was it? Well, it was so short, you could see. How short?
Half an inch.
Half an inch? Half an inch? Were you? Did you see it, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Lord healed him.
He did? How did he do that?
His feet are even. His legs.
Well, what happened? Were you in there anywhere?
He used me.
He did? He did. It's okay to say that. God used me in healing. And doesn't that feel kind of neat?
Yes.
It just kind of put a little spring in your step, won't it?
Sure did.
Hallelujah. Our. Put spring in David's step. I get it. Lenny?
Okay, this is Peter. Peter came to me and said he had lower back pain. And I kind of felt like when you hit the ball, it's a grounder, and you stumble and bumble. But eventually you pick it up and you throw it to first and you get the out. And that's what he said. He was feeling much better. And I kind of have the feeling that I was up here more for me than him.
Why, of course you are.
That's why you picked me.
Yeah, sure.
But he says he's feeling better.
These are divine appointments. So you're feeling better. What does that mean?
That means that I can put one foot in front of the other, which I couldn't do hardly walking up here.
Praise God. Well, then you just go take a stroll around the sanctuary and come back and tell me how it went.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The brother here has a sore. He wakes up and still is this way. Christ has not yet healed.
You have a what?
Lower back problem.
Lower back problem?
Mm-hmm. Chronic pain for 17 years from a soccer injury.
Uh-huh.
And it's still there. I know God can heal me.
Sure, sure he does.
Certainly doubt my faith when I have been prayed for numerous times.
Of course.
And it doesn't happen.
Of course.
There's always, like one of these days when he's ready,
And the word that came to me about this is that today is the day for his healing.
Okay, well, if that's the case, well, Father, we just ask you, if today is the day, then let this be the moment. Yeah. In this day, in Jesus' name, we call upon the healing virtue of the resident Christ to testify again right here in my brother's being. I see both water and fire in your belly, one to come forth, one to rise up. Father, in Jesus' name, I just speak to the discouragement. You liar. I speak to that discouragement in the name of Jesus. For now, faith is. And so we say in Jesus' name, Lord, let your healing grace, there you go. Wow, Father, bless you.
Up my dad. God, you are a father to me, and so is he. Lord, I just pray, God, that his lower back, Lord, that has been suffering him for so many years, as I am a testimony to that, as I've heard him complain, as I've heard him, seen him with the heating pad on his back, watching television, or just wanting to just go to bed just because it hurts so bad. Lord, and being able to understand the feeling of that sharp pain in the lower back for having felt it myself. God, I pray, Lord, you are the healer of all healers. I have seen you heal my mom of her feet that make her feet not hurt anymore. Lord, I pray, God, that you can make his back not hurt anymore. And whatever is wrong with him, whatever is going on in those bones and in those muscles, in his back, Lord, you can heal him because you are the healer. You have healed many people. I have seen it. I have seen you lift the dead, Lord, and I pray to God that you heal him.
Thank you, Father. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'd like those of you who have just prayed for someone to go to that side of the altar and just make yourself comfortable there. Just, kind of follow Catalina over here, step up on this little thing, and get comfortable. All right. Now, I want those of you who have been healed to come sit right over here. Right up here on the edge of the platform, on the steps, wherever. Now, feeling better is good, but I have another task for you. So you come stand here. Dan, you come stand here. Daddy, you come stand here. Daughter, you go sit over there. How are we doing? What does that mean?
I don't know if I felt a difference.
Okay, sit down. Sit down. And here's the next batch. Y'all come sit in the chairs. All right, now then. I'm missing somebody. Father, come over here. Come over here. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, you're not going anywhere. You haven't prayed for anybody yet. All right, now here's the next batch of people. Okay, and what I want you guys to do is start praying for them. You understand? Right in the midst of your infirmity, get over there and start declaring the truth and watch God move through you. Now, while you're doing that, I want to talk to these guys. You know, all of these people came in here this morning with some physical distress in their body. It might have been obvious, had we looked at the whole bunch of them, that we could have spotted two or three with our own eyeballs. They wouldn't have had to say anything. I mean, you notice how Jill walks because she has that distress in her hips. You saw one or two others who have testified today of the great distress, and then Peter was having difficulty. We could see those things and think, oh, dear God, do something. Now, the opportunity for them to come in here, worship the Lord, hear a message, and go out just like they came in can happen every Sunday. Unless we stop and give God an opportunity to be God. Now, we had 9 people in the chairs. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of 9 sitting up here saying, God healed me. Don't you think that's good odds? And we got 9 more sitting in the chair receiving prayer right now. It is time for us to start assuming our places of ministry. Not just in the church, but to realize that God Almighty is on deposit in me, in Walmart, in my cubicle, when I'm sitting at a conference table, when I'm standing on the line for an airplane, that God has chosen to localize Himself in time and space by occupying me so that He can be on display. Not just in healing, but in every other aspect that the Spirit of God wants to manifest. If we're actually going to see the kingdom of God expand in the earth, then those who are repositories of the King have to begin to say so and demonstrate it. Now, look at our new healing team. Aren't they attractive? Look at this. Now, moments ago, you knew virtually nothing. Now you know about 1% more than nothing. But look how big you're smiling over that. So when we say, let's get the healing team up here, who do you think I'm calling for? That's right. Why? Because you have in you a desire, an urge, a longing to see God move through you. And I want to give you opportunity to see that. As often as we are able to do it, I want to give you opportunity to pray for the sick. I want you to be in a situation where you don't know what to do. Now, I showed you what to do today. All you did was copy what you saw me do. I learned that from another healer. Now somebody in 5 years will be saying, you'll be, no, come up here now. Here's what I want you. And you'll be the teacher. You'll be the discipler. They'll be the new generation of healers. Okay? Now, you knew it had nothing to do with you because all you got is empty hands. What did you have on your lips? The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Okay? So when I say, let's get the healing team up here, don't go looking around, oh, is he talking about me? Yeah, because you're the ones who want it. You want it. Now, I don't know how you felt today about coming to church. I have a pretty good idea about how you feel about leaving. Don't it? Well, you know, this is a good day in God, wasn't it? Yes, sir, I'm telling you. But I'm deadly serious about this. I'll afford you as much opportunity as you're willing to take to let God manifest Himself through you, so that it becomes known that Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, is in the house. Okay? Now, what it requires of you is not me having to pull your teeth to get you out of your seat to get up here. Come put God to the test. Come put a demand on the anointing and see what the Lord will do. Okay? I believe you when you nod your head. I'm still wondering about Jason. No, I'm teasing you. All righty. Let's see now. Let's give Sarah and Dave and Karen and Tim and how many more? 1, 2, 3, 4. Jump over there and see what the Lord will do. Peggy, you had an exhortation for us, didn't you? Isn't church fun when God comes? It just makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Alrighty.
The Lord began to speak to us beginning Friday at the Watch regarding the fact that He was calling us beyond our salvation, beyond perhaps the infilling of the Holy Spirit, beyond the gifts that you may already know that you have on deposit within you. He's calling us beyond that. And the question was, are you willing to go with Him beyond that to see what He has, what the call is for your life? And it may require that there are things we need to lay down. There may be things that we're doing we think are of Him, but really the root, the basis is within us. And so the question was, are you willing to allow Him to shine His light on you, to show you, to speak to you, and then to take you where He wants you to go?
That's such an excellent exhortation on a morning like this. You have been predestined, every single one of you. When the Scripture talks about predestination, this is exactly what it means. That you have been predestined to good works in Jesus Christ. That's it. You have been fashioned by the Lord for specific manifestations of Himself through you, and it can't happen through anybody else like it can happen through you. The kingdom of God is not the church. The goal in life is not to get you to sit on ever widening seats. The goal of God is to be animated in life through you, that the goodness of God might be seen, reflected in the face of Jesus Christ, even if that face looks like you. Jesus localized in time and space within you, wanting to manifest Himself through you. Do you know how excited this bunch up here is because God showed up today? How did it happen? Somebody said, I want God to do it through me. And He showed up. Where was He?
Right there. Hello, God, it's good work.
There will be other mornings like this, other opportunities for each of us to discover that Jesus Christ will demonstrate Himself in signs and wonders through you. Today it was healing. Next week it'll be something else. All right, how are we doing here? Got anything cooking? What did I do with the mic? Oh, I gave it to Peggy. What we got going on here, boys?